Welcome to Communication Studio, the podcast that helps you build confidence, captivate your audience, and master every presentation, from meetings to the stage. This is Communication Studio.
Welcome back to the second episode of Communication Studio. Last time we covered the importance of communication. And today we're looking at how to present like a pro. Whether you're in a meeting, pitching an idea, or maybe something bigger like you're on stage. Because I think the importance we put on presenting isn't always there. So if it's your annual conference for the business you work for, or you're presenting to another company's conference or something like that, you'll put a lot of emphasis on that. You'll think about the trip there, the fact you've got to get there early, rehearsals, there might be official rehearsals, you might have a clip on mic, and that makes it so much more important suddenly if you've got a microphone, and then maybe there's a stage as well. But what about those times where we're trying to pitch an idea to our manager and we don't always think through, what should the slides look like? Should there be some accompanying slides? What are our arguments? What might the other side ask that we've not prepared for? That is all presenting. And maybe we're presenting to our team, our organization, or a slightly larger slice of our organization, or another team. How much emphasis do we put on preparing for that? How much thought do we put into the slides we're putting together or any visual aid? The length of the session we have, that drives me mad. You know, you've got a 5-minute session and I see this coming. So we've got maybe a regional team meeting. So you've got multiple teams, multiple leaders presenting across the hour that's scheduled for it. Now, you know, you're not going to get started until 5 minutes in because people will take their seats. You've got conference rooms from, you know, a number of different locations joining, or you're in one location because everyone's together, but you've got to wait till everybody gathers. And so it's always a couple of minutes into it that you'll start at the earliest. Then you've got, say, 8 leaders presenting and they've got 5 minutes each. We've got a lot to get through today, folks, but you know, we're going to get through it. Everyone knows they've got 5 minutes. How many of those slots take 5 minutes? Not many of them in my experience. So timing, preparing the slides, things like next slide, please, drives me nuts because it breaks away from the story you're telling. So if you're presenting, that is you. They're watching you. They're being absorbed into what you're saying. You want them to see it as the most important part of their day, listening to you, because it's that good what you're sharing. And if it's not, you probably should revisit your material. And if you get it right, people listen to you every word. They come up to you afterwards, say, that was great. That was really interesting. Can you send me that? Or can you talk to me more about that? Or I'm going to set a meeting up with you to discuss that more. And that's what we should always be striving to achieve. So we're going to dive into that today. And I always wanted to be able to present well. My early roots were spent in radio. I attended my local radio station from the age of 15. And before that, I had my little pretend radio station. I did a lot of DJing. Then I started my own internet radio station. I started my school radio station. I spent a lot of time in radio. So I loved presenting. And I wanted to be really good at it in front of a crowd, because behind a microphone, it's a lot easier than if you're on stage staring at people. So I wanted to be like the people you see, seemingly effortlessly presenting to thousands of people. And I really wanted to be able to do that. But I'm not somebody who goes about boasting about myself and trying to big myself up all the time. So, you know, it was a bit of a balancing act there. But what I wanted to do was turn those fears into confidence. And what we're going to do today is look at the 3 pillars of effective presentations. Then we're going to look at some quick fixes that can provide immediate assistance and improvement for your presentations as well. Immediate fixes. I've got a little exercise for you to complete if you're interested as well. And of course, as always with the Communication Studio podcast, there will be some extra material for you to go away and look at as well. And in the meantime, let's crack on with the Communication Studio podcast.
Level up your presentation game with Communication Studio.
So I wanted to start with the three pillars of effective presentations. And they are clarity, engagement, and confidence. So we'll start with clarity. Really, really simple, to be honest, and that's what we need to maintain when thinking about clarity. So your message, whatever you're delivering, needs to be clear. If your audience can't walk away repeating your key takeaway, then your message was not clear. And I think that it's easy to go, oh yeah, I do that, no problem at all. But it's more, let's say you've got a 20-minute presentation on a new product. So quite a common scenario there. You don't want to be showing every single feature, every single configuration, how it all works. You want to show the power of what it delivers. So people walk away going, this product is going to change what I do in this way. I don't need to know exactly how it works, exactly how it's configured, exactly how many settings I'll need to play with. I need to understand that this is going to be a big impact for me at my business. I really want this product. And if it's coming in the roadmap in the next 6 months, I'm going to be really, really engaged with this company now over the next few months because I need this product that's coming. It's so cool. I'm not even going to give their competitors the time of day because I want that feature. And that's great. But if they walk away going, oh, it looks a bit, it looks cool, but it looks a bit complicated, then your message was not clear. So we need to make sure we are repeating the key message. And if you watch something like an Apple keynote, they'll say things like, the new iPhone is beautifully simplistic. The new iPhone is beautiful. The new iPhone maximizes simplicity. And so you walk away going, oh, this iPhone is beautiful and simple to use. And that's the repeated message, but not, you know, you're not repeating the exact same phrase 20 times. They go, yeah, we get it, it's beautiful. They weave it into the message. So you walk away without knowing every single spec in the new iPhone, but you walk away understanding what the new iPhone will give you and the benefits, and then you'll want it. You'll really crave it. And this happened a lot in the first, say, 10 releases of the iPhone. You wanted the new one as soon as it came out. In terms of how to make things clear, we need to start by thinking what's in it for them. And we need to structure our message around the value they're going to get from that. Now, you might be in businesses where the value is pushed on you all the time. You need to make sure you reiterate the value. And maybe you're really good at doing that. Maybe you're in that sort of position and that's great. But if you're not sure how to do that, the best way to think about value isn't ROI and statistics and external research. That's all really, really important. Go and do that. But that's not going to resonate on its own. You need to tie what you're talking about from a value perspective with all of that stuff. So what's in it for them? So when they're listening to you speak, they're thinking, oh, this is so meaningful for me. Let's say, for example, that a process could be taking 7 days to complete, but with your new tool, you believe you can halve that to just over 3 days. Say that on its own, statistically, bring that research. They're going to go, yeah, you don't know our processes. They're so complicated. But if you show that in the product, so you're bringing that simplicity, I'm going to halve the amount of time it takes you to complete this. Immediately, you've set your clear message. You've told them what it means for them. And now they're engaged because they're either thinking, yeah, right, prove it. Or they're thinking, oh, this is exciting. I want to see it. Whether they're a glass half full or glass half empty type of person. But they're now engaged. They want to see what you're showing. Then you bring out the product. Now, hopefully you have something to show at this point. Of course, you can't just make it up. You highlight that. You show the same things you would have shown, but now the message is really clear. They're not guessing what this might do for them. They're seeing what this might do because you've highlighted it at the beginning. Pillar number two is engagement. So whilst we need to have a clear message, we need to make sure they're engaged with us the whole way through as well. We've talked about that a little bit so far. But you should open with that kind of message, like I said, like a hook. So I'm going to halve the amount of time it takes you to complete X. Or you could open with a story. And a story doesn't need to be once upon a time. There were two characters called Glenn and Sarah and blah, blah, blah. It can be a story of a time that was really impactful to you. Once we were given this fantastic opportunity and we were told we could make X amount of money if we delivered it on time. But we only had 5 days. Now, this process usually takes us 7 days, so we're really up against it. And that led me to think, what if this could be done in 3 days? And now you're rolling out your message. Everyone relates to that sort of thing because they've been in that sort of situation or a similar situation in the past. They can relate to it. And one example I have of that, actually, with that story type message is, and I have to be really careful with this in my life because I can easily upset people. My wife and I were dog trainers for a number of years. We've just stopped doing it recently over the last couple of years. But we trained over 400 dogs. And so whenever somebody would mention something their toddler is doing, we could usually relate it to a dog story. Because funnily enough, training dogs and training young children in particular use a lot of the same methods. Positive reinforcement, setting boundaries, repetition, routine, all of those sorts of things are very common. But having somebody tell you a story about their child and then going, oh, I had a dog who did that once, doesn't always go down that well. So, but the story does relate. So usually people can say something and you will relate to it in some way, shape or form. So starting with a story is a fantastic way to start a presentation. Also a question. How many times on average do you think it takes to do this? And then you just throw that up on your slide. That's it. That's the only thing that's on there. And now they're listening to you. They're like, oh, I don't know. What is the answer to that? I wonder what it is. What's the average number of days it takes to complete this process? And you pause and you wait. And in their heads, everybody's going, oh, it takes about a week for me. Oh, it takes about 10 days for me. And then you put up on the screen, 7 days is the average according to the Institute of blah, blah, blah. Now you've got your question up there. You've got your answer. You've got your hook and you've got your statistic backing it up. And that leads me on to the final one, which could be opening with a statistic. 70% of people say that they cannot get this process down to less than 7 days. I'm here to show you how that is possible with our new tool. Now, in terms of the importance of communication, I talked a little bit about slides last week, but when it comes to presenting like a pro, you need to remember that any slides, any other visual element other than you, your physical presence and your voice, are a visual aid. So if you've got slides that have tons and tons of text on them, they are not going to be able to focus on you and the text. It's one or the other. And usually the visual side will win out over the audible side, so they will usually distract, they'll stop listening to you and they'll just focus on the slide. And even worse, if you're reading from the slide, they will be reading it a lot faster than you're reading it out. I don't know if you've ever tried to read a book whilst an audiobook is on and you realize just how slow the audiobook is compared to how fast you'll read. It's actually amazing how much slower it is. So make sure you're using things that are a visual aid. And if in any doubt, add an image, an icon, or a simple sentence. Just keep it really, really simple. Humans usually can't focus on more than, say, two or three things at once. So if they're listening to you and they're watching you, you want something simple in the background that highlights, that aids what you're saying. Now, another way of engaging your audience as well is to use names of things and people. Keep it relatable, so everything needs to be relatable. So use people's names, use company names. and direct questions. If they know a question might come, they're going to be more mentally engaged. If they believe they can disengage, they may not even engage at all. Now, there's a lot of ways to keep people engaged, but that is definitely useful as well. Just not putting people on the spot, making people feel uncomfortable. They may not even attend in the first place. But using those direct questions or using a simple interaction. How many people think it's this? And then getting people to react, because then they feel like they're part of it as well. They feel like they're engaged automatically. Our third pillar is confidence. Your confidence, I mean, it's huge, but it's the hardest thing to gain, right? You can prepare, you can make really good looking content, you can understand your clear message, but how do you stop yourself shaking on the day? How do you make your presentation come across really confident, even if you're dreading it? So, some initial thoughts on that, and then we'll dive into the quick fixes afterwards. Firstly, your body language. Looking confident is a large way of overcoming any confidence issues you may have, any nervousness. It also, by faking it, you'll make it. So if you feel, you know, you're acting confident, you'll start to feel more confident. If you act more nervous, you'll look more nervous, and then you'll feel more nervous, and it just sort of spirals from there. So go out with a strong posture. Don't hide behind the podium. Try not to fidget too much. And present outwards. Don't worry about making eye contact with different members of the audience, in my opinion. You can, but if you're nervous, don't worry about that first. Just have a fixed point just above the audience. So as far as they're concerned, you could be looking at somebody in the audience, but you're just not looking at that particular person. Use your hands. So you might have a clicker. You might be controlling a mouse or something, or holding a microphone, but with any free hands you have, gesticulate just a little bit, just to add emphasis when you're talking. So not all the time, we don't want your hands roving around like you're at a rave, but we want to be emphasizing what we're saying, because that really helps the message come across, and it makes you look so much more confident just by doing that. So practice doing that as well. And it's really, really important to practice the body language part. So you could sit at your desk, reading your script and looking at your slides, and then you get up on the stage and suddenly there's this scary microphone clip to you, and you're suddenly stood there, you're like, oh wow, where's the desk gone? Where's the screen gone? There's just chairs in front of me. This is terrifying. So make sure you practice in that situation as well. We want to see you actually practicing. Now, I had to deliver my brother's best man speech at his wedding. So I rehearsed it loads. I wrote the script. I amended the script. I had visual slides to accompany what I was saying. And so I practiced doing those transitions. They were really simple, just photographs that highlighted the current story I was telling. Nothing too complicated to look at. Usually a bit of additional comedy to accompany what I was saying for a best man speech. And then what I started doing, I started pretending I was in the venue. Now, I didn't even know the layout of the venue. But I knew I would be stood there with a crowd of people in front of me, and the screen would be to my left or right, and I would probably have a microphone and a clicker. So I started practicing with all of those things to make sure I could hold them, and I was actually able to click, and I could look out to the audience. I practiced looking up so I wasn't reading and that sort of thing. So practice in the situation as well. Now, you might not know the venue or the space, but do a couple of stood up practices, and it will feel so uncomfortable if you're not used to doing this. That's good, because that takes the discomfort out of doing it on the day. So make sure you practice that as well. Now, voice is often overlooked as well. So you need to not speak naturally. The irony of me not being able to say that. So when I'm talking on this podcast, I'm not talking as though I'm having a conversation. I'm emphasizing words. I'm talking like this. And you might feel like a little bit of an idiot at first, but that's how you present. You watch a speech from, you know, some of the great speakers over the past, say, 20 years, like Barack Obama. He doesn't sit there and have a conversation with his wife in the way that he presents at a stadium. It's much slower, much more dramatic, much more emphasized. And that's what we want to do as well. We want to also adjust our pace. So if you're making a really important point, you slow it down. And if you're trying to emphasize how exciting something is, you speed it up. So adjust your pace. Don't be monotonous and it's just a ramble, because people won't pick out what you're saying. It needs to speed up and slow down. And you can practice this and put this all together. You also should adjust your pitch. If you're excited, you go up. And if you're making a really important point, you come down. And it should be so natural. People aren't really noticing it. It doesn't need to be dramatic or silly. But we do need to put that in place, because as we go up and down the scale, our engagement increases, people join us, they feel brought into us emotionally. We also want to make sure we pause. Pauses emphasize our key points. They do two things. One, they add drama and suspense. So if I say, coming next month, we have two new releases for you. I am so excited about these releases. I cannot wait for them to launch. And I'm so thankful that we're able to bring two at the same time. I've used pace and I've used pauses there to emphasize the fact we're bringing those two releases out. Pauses also get rid of any of your ums, ahs, ims, es, whatever noise you make. The noises you wish you didn't, but you just automatically make them. They're so frustrating. And you know, if you're sat in an audience and someone goes, you just start counting them. You've stopped listening to what they're saying. I listened to somebody once who basically used next slide, please, as an All they were doing was, blah, 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 next slide, please, blah, 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 next slide, please. It was awful. And that's all I remember. I don't remember even what they were showing me. So use pauses and practice. Again, this isn't easy. You will need to, some people will have this come naturally. Some of you may have already had coaching on this or learned it yourself or practiced it or have lots of experience of talking on stage. But if you watch a seasoned professional, somebody like Barack Obama, Tim Cook, some of the other influencers you see presenting on stage a lot, they won't very often. They will pause. They'll wait and then they'll talk. And that comes through practice. So stand up. When you're practicing your content, practice how you're delivering it to. Finally, in confidence, it's worth noting that everybody gets nervous. Everybody. It could just be the way you're feeling at the time. So you're used to presenting in front of this sized audience over this subject, but today you're a bit more nervous because you're a bit more tired or stressed, or there's been a lot going on lately. Or it could just be that you're a nervous person and you use those nerves to thrive. And so you always feel nervous. For me, I used to feel a lot more nervous going on stage than I do now. I don't really feel nervous. And so for me, it was practice makes perfect. I started increasing my audience size gradually. So it'd be 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, 100 people, you know, then 500 people. And so keep practicing, use those nerves to guide you. If you know you're going to be nervous, that's fine. Make sure you prepare as much as possible and you're confident in your material. My final tip is to, as much as possible, and this might not be possible straight away, and that's absolutely fine, but my biggest tip is don't rely on a script. Bullet points, fine, but don't rely on those presenter notes that you need to be on the monitor, because all you're doing is staring down at that and people can see it. It's obvious. Practice without your script. Have your bullet points. If you need little index cards or a tablet or presentation notes for the key points, great, absolutely fine. But try to have it down to bullet points at least, because you will come across so much more naturally then. It's amazing the difference it will make. And you'll feel so much better because you know the content. You're not thinking, oh God, what's the next paragraph? What's the next paragraph? Because you know your subject. So that's the three pillars of effective presentations.
From meetings to the stage, this is Communication Studio.
So now let's look at some quick fixes. So I'm going to give three actionable tips for immediate improvement. First, prepare in threes. And this is really interesting. So when you memorize a phone number, how do you remember it? In three sections, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And if somebody repeats it back to you in a different order, you're like, whoa, hang on, that's not how I've memorized it. And it takes you a few extra seconds to figure that out. So prepare in threes. Always have three key points to guide your talk. That way, it's easier for both you as somebody trying to memorize it and deliver it, but it's also easier for the audience because they're used to memorizing things in threes as well. So try to summarize in three key points. Use that for your slides as well. So have three messages at most on a single slide. If you can do fewer, even better. Don't worry about the number of slides, worry about the content on the slide. It needs to be so easily absorbed. Next, practice smart, I'm calling it. So I already mentioned this, stand up. Don't just sit behind a desk or, you know, reading with your earphones in. Practice as though you're on stage. Do it away from people. If you don't want people to watch you doing that, you might feel stupid. Use your living room, your kitchen, your office, whatever you might want to use, and prepare. Practice as though you're doing it. Now, the next one's hard, but record yourself doing this and listen to yourself. If you don't want to watch yourself, fine, but ideally watch and listen to yourself. Use, you know, your conferencing tool or your webcam or whatever you've got. Record yourself and then watch it back and do these two things. Watch out for any filler words. Oh, I'm saying basically at every sentence, or so, such a common one. So what this means, so what we're going to do, so what I'm going to tell you, that's probably the most common one. Now, using those every now and again is absolutely fine, but make sure you're varying it. If you notice, you will say, basically what this means is, and basically that means we can go to, and obviously that, then those are filler words you don't need. And try to practice not using them. What this means is, sounds so much more powerful than, so what this means is, practice that is something that takes time, but listen for filler words or unclear moments. So practice smart, record yourself, listen for filler words, and also watch for any rambling as well. Any times that you're bored, it means the audience is always certainly going to be bored as well. And finally, we talked about practicing smart and practicing as though you're on the stage. Also, practice anchoring yourself. So place your feet firmly. Use a power pose. You can put yourself naturally into a power pose to start if that helps you build confidence as well. And try to avoid big movements. Now, if you want to roam across the stage, that's fine, but make it a conscious decision. What we don't want to watch, and I'll give you a story with this as well. We don't want to see these subconscious or unconscious movements. I had to do a TV interview when I think I was 13. I hated it, by the way. And so they had this big camera in front of me with the presenter and they were asking me questions and then I had to answer. And halfway through, I remember she stopped me and she went, sorry, Mike, can you stop fidgeting? You're rocking on the balls of your feet and you're moving, you know, swaying basically like I was on a ship. I wasn't aware I was doing it. I was just nervous. So make sure you place your feet firmly, try to stay clear. And this is where adding gestures with your hand can really help because that's the part you're allowing yourself to move. That's where the nervousness comes out through those gestures that you're intentionally incorporating. But you don't look nervous. You're not shaking or swaying or fidgeting more than you should be. So prepare in threes. Always have three points to guide your talk. Practice smart. Practice as though you're in location, record yourself and listen for those filler words or anything unclear. And anchor yourself, place your feet firmly and use deliberate movements and it will make you seem so much more confident. I also have a listener lab for you this week. We've got a very cool name for it, Listener Lab. The Communication Studio Listener Lab. So what I'd love to hear from you, you've heard me talk for the last half an hour. What do you think? Did you know this? Have you got any additional tips? Because there's so much more to unwrap in this. So I'd love to know how you practice when you're presenting. Have you maybe presented to thousands of people? Hey, Mike, I'm a bit of a pro. Here's my three tips. I would love to hear from you. Or do you know what? I've presented 50 times. I still hate it, but here's my tips for handling it, because people will really, really appreciate that. Also, some of the areas we haven't covered that I'd love to hear your feedback on as well is things like, how do you handle interruptions during a presentation? So I've done a lot of demonstrations in my life and I've got it all planned out and I'm going to tell the story and bring it to life and show the product as I go through the demo, and I get 10 minutes in and then Brad from the customer interest goes, hey Mike, just a quick question. And then I pick myself back up and carry on. Hey, just another question. And maybe that's fine, but what do you do in terms of your flow, picking things up, handling that? What do you do if there's a situation that unfolds in the audience, like a mobile phone going off or something? Do you ignore it? Do you, do you bring it into the fold? Do you make a joke about it? How do you handle that? And I think another element to think about as well is improvisation. So we can't always plan for every exact eventuality or moment. We might not know what the person who goes on stage before us is going to say. So how do we link what they've said to ours if we want to? And how do we cover something if they say something similar or worse, contradictory to what we're going to say? How do we incorporate that in on the fly as well? So I'd love to hear from you. Please get in contact on X, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. You can leave a comment on any of the podcast platforms as well. You can email me, communicationstudiopodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us at communicationstudio.co.uk as well. We also have the studio spotlight on the Communication Studio website, www.communicationstudio.co.uk. Hit spotlight. And we have some great tips. So we have 5 body language tips to make a strong first impression, and how to overcome stage fright right on the studio spotlight. So check that out for more information from Communication Studio. And otherwise, thank you so much for listening again this week. I appreciate it so much. And if you've enjoyed it, please subscribe, like, and share with everybody in your network. I will really, really appreciate it. And otherwise, until next time on Communication Studio.
Thanks for tuning in to Communication Studio. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. Join us next time as we unlock more secrets to presenting with confidence. Communication Studio, your guide to presentation success.